Pod save the Queen!
Hello and welcome to Pod Save the Queen. It's Wimbledon. Kate's got her wedges out and I am here, your host Anne Gripper. I'm back. I've missed a couple of weeks, so hopefully I can still remember how to do it. Thank you to Zoe Forsey for stepping in to host last week. She's joining us again today.
Hi.
And our regular royal editor. Well, not irregular.
Regular royal editor.
Regular royal editor. Our royal editor, who is a regular on the show, Russell Myers, is here with
Hello.
Us as well. Not out and about with the royals today.
Not today, no.
Not today.
Although it's very nice outside. I would have liked to get out of the office, but maybe later.
Early weather reference.
Early weather reference.
For those that like to track these things, we haven't yet turned it into some form of drinking game, but there may be high potential in this one.
That would be fun.
Excited about the sunshine. Maybe it's not too late. You know, go get yourselves a cup of tea and a biscuit. Maybe it's a biscuit one instead. Have a biscuit every time we mention the weather. Deary me. Right. Okay. Clearly still remember how to do this in a slightly random fashion, but there's lots to talk about today. There's been a few big announcements since you guys were talking a week ago. Lots of visits.
Yes, busy.
Royals. And obviously the big thing that everyone's been thinking about probably for the last week or so is there's been gradually information sort of coming out or not coming out is Archie's christening. And because it's that time when royal babies do get dunked and baptised and welcomed into the church and celebrated with their family. So it kind of first became really prominent for me last weekend, and the discussion around that it was going to be a much more private christening than we've seen. And you know, for the Cambridge's children, it's still been a private christening. That it's not been like the weddings where the cameras have been in there, and you know, you've seen the service. It has been, but you have seen people arriving. You've seen them in their glad rags and kind of those nice moments of the family greeting each other and what they've chosen to wear, which, as you know, we all like to
Absolutely,
see their
yeah.
outfits
yeah.
and that kind of thing, and see them being happy on a happy family day. But this time it sounds like it's going to be quite different.
Yeah, well, they've chosen to have a private event, which has caused much debate. And I think it probably didn't help them that it's come within the same week as it was revealed that taxpayers have spent £2.5 million on their new lavish home. So, you know, it hasn't been a great week for them. While I can understand that they do want to have a private event, they have said that their wishes are to bring Archie up as a private citizen. He's seventh in line to the throne. You know, he hasn't taken on HRH title. I get all of this, but I just think this is the wrong decision for them. And of course it is their decision, but I just thought that when the Cambridges have had the christenings of their children, as you say, there's normally one TV camera, one reporter, one photographer. It's not a big media scrum like you would normally see if they were out and about during the week on engagements or in tours. It's, you know, it's a very measured event. It's very respectful. They say, you know, hi, mom, and, you know, hello, sir. And they walk past and that's it. And you see the guests. And there's obviously just, you know, a bit of footage seeing the baby going in to be christened, but you don't go into the private event, and I just don't understand why they've sort of dug their heels in on this issue, really.
And I think it's interesting, you know, talking about Archie hasn't got an HRH, and when we're talking about sort of ordinary royals, in inverted commas, as ordinary as royals can be, I always end up thinking about Zara and Mike Tyndall, who are, you know, the kind of more normal end of the royal spectrum and have got jobs,
albeit as
world-class sports people, and now sort of doing the sponsorship circuit or whatever. But there were pictures of Mike carrying small child in frilly dress for their christening. So maybe it's different because they do have that freedom, that they're totally free of it, so they've almost come out the other side where they can be relaxed about that.
Yeah, I think
presence.
That, you know, that I think maybe that certainly Harry would like to be more like Zara and Mike and have that freedom. But unfortunately, he is related to the heir, and he's going to be the son of the future king. And I think that the problem is you can't have one foot in and one foot out. And this is the issue that's being debated at the moment. And whilst, you know, Harry and Meghan are, you know, it seemed as though quite persistent to try and have this marriage of being members of the royal family to doing all, you know, the attention that comes with wanting to highlight their global causes, and yet aren't willing to, you know, maybe give royal fans and members of the media what they need to survive as well. I mean, I think it is a two-way street in a lot of instances. And I just think that this decision was the wrong one and it may cause issues in the future.
So what do we know so far? We got some details about what's
happening. We do know that it is going to be in the christening will be in the Queen's private chapel, which is inside the bowels of Windsor Castle. So it won't be in St George's Chapel, where obviously they were married. It's quite a small place, as it's been described to me, that it's a small place, so you can't necessarily have members of the media there. However, I'll go back to what I just said about it's normally three people: photographer, TV cameraman and one reporter, just to capture it.
And you wouldn't be in
and we wouldn't be inside anyway. So
yeah, and even if you couldn't see them directly, if there was a teeny tiny corridor to get in, you can see them walking.
Exactly.
You know,
you'd
from
see
there.
Them walk from, you know, somewhere in Windsor Castle grounds. You'd see them walk, you know, with into the castle, you know, the inner sanctum of the grounds, before they then go and have the ceremony. So I think this is, you know, much to do about, you know, the privacy. And the Buckingham Palace statement said yesterday that the godparents, in line with their wishes, will remain private, the actual identities of them. So I imagine this is a decision by Harry and Meghan and the people that they've chosen to godparents, which, despite all the speculation, we're now sort of being told that the individuals aren't necessarily sort of celebrities. So I think, you know, previously we'd said that Oprah, arguably Misha Nonu, who is, you know, well-known fashion designer, you know, perhaps she's not on the list. And you might have people like Benita Litt, who's one of Meghan's old friends. And people that Harry had chosen to be godparents are probably less well known, probably only known because, you know, they've been involved in royal circles. But and again, I understand that, but I just think that the Cambridges, on the day of the christening, have announced on the court circular, you know, this event is taking place today, this is where it's happening, and these are the people that have chosen to be godparents. And what we were speaking about earlier, that it is, and my pronunciation won't be right, it's the...
So. In the Church of England, traditionally, in the same way that a marriage gets registered, and hat tip for the Daily Mail for pointing this out, under the Parochial Registers and Records Measure 1978, all Church of England baptisms are a matter of public record, including the godparents and officiating minister. Anyone willing to pay the required fee can look up the details. So it's not entirely clear. I'm not an expert in church matters.
Me neither.
but it's not clear whether having the ceremony in the Queen's private chapel operates under different rules. And she is the head of the Church of England at the end of the day. I mean, I think we suspect, has it been confirmed, that Archbishop of Canterbury will be doing the service.
He's presiding over the service, yeah.
Who Meghan seems to have struck up a bond with since the preparations for her wedding. So, you know, it
certainly begs the question as to why they weren't, because that was always the rumoured place of where it would take place at St George's Chapel. And now that it's changed to the Queen's private chapel, do they have to abide by the same rules as the parochial register? So I don't know. I must confess I don't know. And this has only come about today. So I will endeavour to find out. And I'm sure we will do a story on it and get to the bottom of it.
So even if it does come out, to me, it just reminds me of the kind of the whole debate about Meghan them not saying where Archie was born. You know, when they came out and said, you know, yes, we've got a son, great, we're happy, everyone's well, life is great, and there was just a kind of a refusal to confirm, was the baby born at home? Was it born in a hospital? And you had, you know, we talked about the paper of record. The Times
the Times of London, you know, possibly the most famous paper in the world, you know, had the wrong information, and as a historical point of view, that is not on.
But it always seems slightly peculiar, because the information as it did, came out with the birth certificate, which becomes a matter of public record as well. So maybe it's about giving, you know, the people involved a bit of time and space because they
think that... But like you said, it will... It's going to come out at some point down the line as to who they are. So why it's not done now, I don't really
it will cut. It will come out. It always does, you know. And same as Meghan having a baby in the Portland. And I kind of got that because maybe she'd had her heart set on having a baby at home and having a home birth and, you know, doing it for the mums who wanted a home birth. And then she ended up going to one of the most exclusive, expensive hospitals in the country. So I understood that. But this is just, you know, I just don't understand it. And for everyone who's saying... You know, it is their prerogative. It is, but it will come out in the end. And it's just better to have it managed and to have a relationship with the media who have been very respectful in trying to arrange something suitable that they would be happy with as well. And again, I won't labour the point, but when it comes back to they weren't going to do any facilities for Archie's birth. And when you saw Harry on that hastily arranged photo call when he was being interviewed by Ireland from the Press Association, he was jumping around for joy. Like, I've never seen him so happy. And understandably, he just had a baby. But then when they did the photo call with Meghan, he loved it. And he thanked the press. He was really comfortable with it. Perhaps she looked great and she'd just had a baby sort of 48 hours beforehand. And perhaps she was uncomfortable with it and she doesn't want to do it again. But for Harry, I think he may have wanted to do it. But
I just think it would be interesting to see how... Obviously, there's the kind of media line in there, but I also think it'd be interesting to see how fans kind of take to this. Because I think, obviously, it's a huge event, but also it's a really big celebration. It's a really exciting thing. It's normally, like with the Cambridges, it's the first time we got to see them as a family of five. And we had that lovely moment of Kate walking in, holding Louis. And, you know, it's a really sweet moment. It's a really lovely historical thing.
Whereas I like to see those unguarded moments when they're either walking to the church or the chapel or when they're at an engagement.
The kind of candid photos.
So
if you think about weddings that you've been to, quite often the best pictures are those candid interaction moments.
Totally.
You know, most of the ones that we've got up at home from our wedding are, certainly half of them, they're not the posed up pictures. They are those
The fun laughing.
Just capturing
Let's
the moments.
Let's just suggest, right, that if they did all the royal family did engagements, and whether you've got Meghan at the dog centre or you've got Kate this week at Hampton Court Garden Festival when she's playing with a load of kids, and they only put out their own images from those engagements, it would be so dull, because the actual images that you're seeing are those unguarded moments, whether it's the video footage or the photographs, and the unguarded moments are the best thing of how they interact with the public, who again, you know, are responsible for their very existence in terms of financially. So I think that it needs to be a bit more of two-way street, and perhaps we're reading too much into it, but I just think it's going to set them along a path which will potentially be difficult to come back from.
It'll be interesting to see how it plays out. But so when we kind of first heard that it was rumoured that the christening was going to be this weekend, and then someone said, oh, yeah, well, maybe Serena will be a godmother. And I was like, oh, well, yeah, that would make sense, because it's Wimbledon middle weekend. And if they do it on the Sunday, then she'll definitely be free, because they don't play on a Sunday unless it absolutely hammers it down with rain for the whole of the first week, which it hasn't. It's sunny, as previously mentioned. But I mean, when it's Serena Williams, you expect her still to be playing come the weekend. And particularly now, excitingly, that she is doing the mixed doubles with Andy Murray, which everybody is very excited about. So, I mean, if I was Meghan or Kate, I'd be wanting to get along to watch them play. That would be top of my picks for seeing at Wimbledon. So we've seen Kate at Wimbledon so far already this week.
Yes, she looked lovely. I really liked her. Her white dress was gorgeous.
I mean, you can rely on Kate pretty much to wear white when she goes to Wimbledon.
Yeah, it's really nice, actually, because of both the events she's been to this week, she's worn kind of the longer summery dresses. And I think she's really kind of, I think they're absolutely perfect. They're perfect for kind of royal engagement like this, because they're, you know, nice, cool, because third mention of the weather, it's obviously been so hot. But yeah, so the one she wore to Wimbledon was a lovely white Alexandra McQueen... no, it wasn't. Sorry, she wore a Susanna dress with an Alexandra McQueen belt. There was a bit of confusion at the start because everyone thought the dress was McQueen, but it wasn't. But yeah, the dress was lovely, and she added a little bow to the top of it as well, which was really sweet.
It was kind of just simple and summery and relaxed. Like, it looked quite easy to the stuff that she's wearing. The nice clothes that she's wearing at the moment, they look quite sort of fluid and floaty and easy to wear. And yep. I mean, I was very sorry not to join the pussy bow conversation last week.
Drink.
Yeah. With her. Is that a new rule?
That's it. Yeah.
So, you know, her ascot number, which I thought, like, it reminded me a little bit of Downton Abbey somehow, that kind of era, which I thought, you know, was lovely. So she's clearly got a lovely summer wardrobe. So we'll look forward to seeing what else.
She always does. She always looks brilliant at Wimbledon. I think that's kind of the perfect, you know, she always comes out with some brilliant dresses. And I think this was a good... And I really hope we get to see her again and to see another dress.
Something else. And I think it's one of those places where she seems at her most relaxed, because she clearly is a tennis fan. She's got a long-standing relationship with Wimbledon, you know, writing a letter years and years ago. And
oh, I remember that. Yeah.
We all got to analyse her handwriting from when she was like a child. And she's obviously now the patron of the All England Club, which is, you know, dream job for her, I should think, from the different roles that you get to take on. So
she's done well with some causes that are things she's actually really passionate about, hasn't she? She's got that one, obviously, with the photography.
Scouts. You know.
Yeah, so, of course.
So, you know, it may make sense to given that she's going to be doing these things for many, many, many years to come.
Yes, this is true.
Makes sense to pick things she's going to be enjoying. So Harry's been out a bit as well this week. He's been talking about Archie, saying some very nice things.
Yeah, he was saying about how becoming a father has made him a lot more aware of his surroundings and what sort of role model he needs to be, because, I think the quote was, because he's always watching me. And
this was so lovely. It's really lovely.
All kind of creepy. Yeah. No, I don't mean that. Wow. This was at the Diana Award, which has just launched the UK's biggest mentoring programme. So they're searching for mentors up and down the country to be positive role models for young people as part of the Diana Award, which is a fantastic organisation, obviously, in Princess Diana's name. And, you know, along the tagline of young people have the ability to change the world. So with this mentoring programme, Harry did a speech. He met some of the young kids who are working with the programme. And I think he really enjoys, you know, speaking about becoming a dad. It's something that he's always wanted. He's obviously enjoying it. He's speaking about it quite a lot, despite the sleepless nights. And again, I think that perhaps if he was to have an opportunity to tell us how he felt about his son's christening, then he might want to do it. But yeah, it's the Diana Award. One of our sister papers has had a sort of interest in this as well, and I think it will be a really good example of how they can make a proper difference, the Royals, in highlighting the issue of having mentors for young kids to keep them occupied.
It's interesting, you know, like for Prince, when you're a royal, there's probably not that many people who you can have as your mentor.
Yes,
it's a fairly unusual role, but they sort of end up having, you know, the number of times we talk about, you know, Harry's had a special conversation with someone who's grieving, or they meet so many different people that they end up kind of forming many different connections and being looked to for many, many different causes. It's quite...
Well, a chap called Mark Dyer, who is indeed Harry's mentor, probably his sort of confidant, his mentor. She was basically like his male nanny, who was brought in to team up with Tiggy LeBourque, who is rumoured to be a godparent. So it'd be interesting to see that kind of relationship, if that has fostered. And then obviously Harry going full circle and having quite a big role to play in this sort of search for mentors.
It's interesting talking about the role models thing as well, because obviously you're... story from last weekend about people that we know won't be at the christening of Meghan's family, which is of the enduring rift, which, you know, it would take something immense really to come back from it.
Yeah, I mean, as it's been put to me, there's zero chance of, you know, reconciliation from the Markles. There's the people I've spoken to close to Meghan, both inside and outside the palace, have said that she only wants positive influences for Archie. And obviously that may sound obvious, but I think it shows you that she's only interested in looking forward, not interested in looking back, despite Thomas Markle's, you know, regular pleas, even though he's calmed down considerably lately. You know, his son, Thomas Markle Jr., had been interviewed recently saying that he thought it was the perfect opportunity for the family to get back together at an occasion like this. And this sort of very small, intimate, private affair has probably also, not only because they want to be a small private affair, but has obviously been done with that in mind, that they don't want to have this sort of big open celebration, because by doing it, it just totally draws a line in the sand and saying, this is what we want, this is just for our small family unit moving forward. And obviously she's still trying to contest with not only motherhood, but you know, becoming a member of the royal family, that that it was put to me that, you know, people like Prince Charles are really helping her with, and that they have developed a strong bond as well. So it's as simple as that. She's interested in looking forward and not looking back to the sort of poisonous aspect of what her family have been like.
Yeah, it sounds like Thomas Markle Jr. might have been watching a bit too much EastEnders, because surely having like a massive family fallout, getting back together at a big family occasion, where there's, you know,
you're chucking pork pies and sausage rolls across the room.
Another line in your story that I really liked was that I think was it that the Queen and Charles think that she's handled it all in a, was it very dignified
very
way?
Very dignified,
was that the way?
Yeah. And she has. She hasn't come out and said anything, has she? She's
no,
been,
exactly.
She's kept her counsel. She's let it play out. You know, apart from the leak to the Five Friends for People magazine, which was a bit over the top, in my opinion. But, you know, it was a very sort of PR-friendly version of getting her point of view out there. And I think people can just sort of maybe see what she's like over the next few months and years and get to know her that way, rather than her friends all coming out and saying, she's the best thing since sliced bread, she's like Mother Teresa. And it was just a bit of a bit of PR puff, but that's as far as she's gone. She hasn't come out and you know, publicly and monastered him, so
yeah. So it's nice to know she's got the, hopefully by the sounds of it, got the royal family kind of behind her.
Yeah, definitely. Said, like, yeah, yeah. They're only going to support her, aren't they? I mean, especially Charles and the Queen. They've been through their own set of crises, and it can't be easy coming into that family and with the attention that it brings. And then to add into the mix, you've got your family who are intent on trying to wreck it at every opportunity for you.
So, you know, I wonder whether sometimes if she's up in the middle of the night with Archie, she just thinks, oh, life is really different now. You know, like, I've got a baby, this is great. I've met my Prince Charming and we're married and I'm living in a different country, like basically in a castle.
Yeah.
member of the royal family.
Of where do you see yourself in 5 years' time's questions, that's quite a...
Well, again, not even 5 years, because someone tweeted that picture that she did on Father's Day about how when she was lying on Thomas's chest. It's a really old photograph, but she'd Instagrammed that in this, 2016, Father's Day.
Yeah.
Or was it on his birthday? But either or, it was in 2016. And you think that was 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And now she's got no relationship with her father, no relationship with her family. Yeah. She's now married into the royal family. They've moved to Frogmore Cottage, which, you know...
She's moved to England.
Yeah, moved to England, moved countries. And, you know, got married, had a baby. I think it's just an absolutely colossal change for anyone to deal with, let alone having sort of the spotlight that comes with it.
So we did see Meghan at the weekend. Nice trip out to the base.
Yes, I thought she would go. Time. I mean, it was, you couldn't get any sense out of that. I suppose it was the palace because it's a matter of see how you feel on the day when you've just had a baby and see what's go how you feel. So yeah, it was really nice. I thought she would go because it was obviously the American aspect of it, and they looked all very lovey-dovey.
And very cute presents for the baby.
Yeah, they were very sweet. It was really lovely. And they both, again, looked so relaxed, didn't they? Like, Harry was making jokes about who'd given them the best present and things like that. Like, it was really...
Very smiling.
It was really lovely, yeah. And I really liked her dress then as well.
It was quite simple and classy,
yeah, it was. It was
really.
A Stella McCartney black one with, like, a waist belt on. And she had flat shoes on again, which I think is one of those nice things that I think... Obviously, what she's comfortable in, but I think something that kind of other new mums will take a nice nod to and think, right, I don't feel quite as bad now for the fact that I've not.
Yes, I'm not.
I'm still in my trainers.
I'm going to leave the heels in the cupboard.
I say this, I live in my trainers anyway. So.
Yes, I am wearing flat shoes right now. I think it's interesting seeing the pictures of them at the baseball because it kind of reminds you of that, you know, them at the Invictus Games when they kind of made their first appearance as a couple. And,
yeah.
And you know, sport is actually a really big part of the royal family's lives. And, you know, Prince William did send a good luck message to the lionesses this week, but sadly to no avail. But they did put in a
brave performance,
valiant performance.
It was really good. I've loved watching the tournament, actually. It's been great. And they put on a massive, you know, a great show. Unfortunately, they were beaten by the better team.
Congratulations to our American listeners.
Indeed, yeah.
Gracious in defeat. Yes, always.
But we could have won it. We could have won the game. Well,
Missed opportunities. Oh, dear.
But no, they can hold their heads high. They did very, very well.
So, yeah. Anyway, our little football aside is completed. two other announcements, both, you know, from both houses, from the Sussexes and from the Cambridges, about forthcoming tours, which are kind of similarly interesting. If you like, I mean, we knew about the Africa trip, but not the details of it or kind of the specifics. Mm. I mean, obviously, we've not got all of the details yet, but we know that it's South Africa, Malawi,
Angola, and Botswana. There will be a trip to Botswana as well. So, and obviously, Megan and Archie are going. Even though they'll go to the South Africa leg, it will start in Cape Town, finish in Johannesburg, and they will stay in South Africa. And meanwhile, so they'll probably do a few days. I imagine it will be around, you know, 2 weeks long. They will do a few days in Cape Town and surrounding areas. And then Harry will obviously go off to Angolan landmines to do work on that we've previously spoken about. And then Malawi, where there is sort of a new base for Sentebale. They're sort of expanding their reach over in that part of the continent, and then he will go and do something with African parks in Botswana, which is fascinating. It's going to be a great trip.
You got getting your jabs done?
Fingers crossed. I've got to get signed off by the boss. And then you've got the Cambridges tour, which will happen sometime in the autumn afterwards, which will be Pakistan, and again, hugely historic trip, probably the biggest trip. In terms of the pressure that comes with it, the security aspects, and the region for Kate, she hasn't done a tour for ages. So,
oh, no, she hasn't, has she?
2016, I think. So yeah, it's a big deal for both of them. Again, it sort of links into when we were in the Middle East with William, and I thought seeing him on that tour, he was absolutely exemplary. He handled it very, very well. It was a political hot potato at every twist and turn, you know, meeting world leaders from both sides of the very fraught political divide. And that is exactly the direction that he's going to be going in. So, and it's very telling because obviously that Harry and Meghan are going to go in this sort of Commonwealth conservation, girls' education role that they will be doing for decades, presumably. And then you've got William being prepped to be this world leader, essentially, and you know, meeting with, you know, people in these sorts of regions, and being incredibly statesmanlike. So, it hugely important, historically for both of them, I think.
I think from a security point of view, it is obviously going to be interesting and challenging, and you know. For example, the cricket team doesn't tour to Pakistan at the moment.
Yeah.
So that was immediately my like, oh, this is a big deal. It will be.
Well, reporters have got to have hostile environment training, and so, you know, it's something that I don't think a lot of I don't know. I've had it previously because of my, you know, previous jobs, but I don't think a lot of reporters have it. It's something specialised that you need to have. I'm not sure if a lot of royal reporters would have necessarily needed it over the years. So it's you know, it can't be undermined of how you know, risky it is to go to that sort of area. So so fair play to them, and they're obviously going at the behest of the Foreign Office. So you know, in our brave new post-Brexit world, it's important that we reach out to countries all over the world. And
do you think they were buoyed by how well the Israel
100%, 100%. It was a fantastic occasion. It was, you know, triumphant in terms of how successful it was. He absolutely smashed it. I mean, you know, to be, he's well read. He, you know, when we'd spoken to him on the way out there, you could tell that he was, he'd been very diligent over many months to make sure that he was aware of the nuances of the political situation over there. And I thought very, very impressive. And of course, it was my first tour. So, and I was very, very impressed.
But it also seemed to play out smoothly. So, you know, the team that had done all of the preparatory work and the, you know, arranged the schedule and arranged the logistics of it all, had dealt with a difficult situation.
Absolutely. I mean, not only the recce, but, you know, the arrangement of these tours must be a headache in itself. And then you've got the actual execution of it. But then put in the mix when he's sitting down with Prime Minister Rivlin, then he's saying, pass a message of hope onto, you know, our foes, essentially. And then William was caught into sort of this sort of political divide, and he navigated it particularly well, I thought.
So what I'm looking forward to is looking back through the archives to Diana and Charles's visit to Pakistan.
Yeah, I mean, there's loads of history to go there, and not only that, but then you've got when Charles and Camilla were there in 2016, and that tour was fraught with security issues. So hopefully this will run a bit more smoothly. And then you've obviously got Diana out there when she went over to visit Imran Khan, who's now the Prime Minister. So, I think that tour is something really, really to look forward to.
Very special. William, he popped out to visit some people who were remembering his mother earlier this week.
Yeah, this was really lovely, actually. I think lots of the people waiting outside were really touched by it. So it obviously should have been Diana's 58th birthday on Monday. And there was a group of kind of well wishers that were outside Kensington Palace doing a bit of a kind of...
like a vigil.
Oh, was it? There we go. I went completely blank then. For her with kind of flowers and things like that. William just popped out. There's a couple of photos of him. He just went out basically to thank them all for marking the occasion. I think the word he used was, I thought it was wonderful. Wonderful that he was celebrating her life. And yeah, I think him popping out, I think there was quite a lot of tears from well wishers. And yeah, it was a really...
It's lovely, fascinating way, how... much, you know, how much that connection kind of still lives on for so many of
fair play to him going out. I mean, they're outside his house, you know, every year, and yeah. And for him to recognise it would have, you know, lasted a lifetime of memories for those people.
Yeah.
And William, last week, it was not long after you guys had done your recording, so it didn't make it into last week's episode.
Yeah, it was about 10 minutes, I think, after we left the room, so sorry that wasn't on.
When Prince William made his relatively, certainly very well received comments on, he was at a LGBT visit.
At the Albert Kennedy Trust.
Yes, which helps homeless young
people. Huge story.
LGBT, it's Pride, June was Pride Month, but the Pride in London parade is not until Saturday. So we've got awareness and celebration of LGBT issues. And, you know, I don't know how far that the story travelled. You know, there were two women who were pretty badly attacked and beaten up on a bus after they refused to kiss for some men recently, which, you know, it was a shocking story because we think of London as a very, you know, kind of open and tolerant city and, you know, modern, where LGBT is kind of accepted and you don't expect to see that. I mean, if you aren't aware of this story, look up the picture because it's shocking. I think one of the women was actually American, the girlfriend of the main woman who'd been talking about it. But William
he'd heard about it and he was shocked by it, and he said about how, you know, he'd met the story with that absolute revulsion, and I think that's really important. And he was actually asked by the Albert Kennedy Trust, a fantastic charity that helps homeless people from the LGBTQ plus community, That have essentially been kicked out of their house because of their life choices. And so to have William come down and to meet some of the young people, obviously we know that he's got this passion for homelessness charities. He's patron of two of them. He's done a lot of work in that sector before. And to have this added mixture of that kind of charity that helps LGBT plus community, it was the first time a royal had ever been to a charity specific of that nature. And then he was asked by one of the young people with how he would react if his children came out as gay or LGBTQ plus. And he said, you know, he's obviously given it a lot of thought. He's spoken about it with Kate, spoken about it with other parents. And for him to say that he was completely okay with it, I think is a huge stride, because, you know, on the one hand, you could say we live in 2019. Of course, that should be the notion. He's a man in the public eye. Whatever he says travels far. But let's, you know, he's in probably one of the oldest institutions in the world that is set on tradition. And let's say that one of the, was especially George, was gay, or one of the children, and how would that affect the royal family, and the fact that he's thought about it and has said that he would be okay with it. I thought that was a huge, huge stride for the community.
What I did also think was also really good was the fact that he was also very honest, where he said he would have, there were things he would be worried about in terms of the reaction that it might get from people. And I thought that also kind of had a second point of highlighting how many of the issues there are still surrounding this and how many people still don't accept this. So I think while kind of showing that he was completely accepted, I think he did a really good job of kind of raising awareness by being very honest in saying that he understands that he, you know, if any of the children were, that they would face extra challenges. So I think that was really important as well.
So yeah, that's another good example, as we, you know, we've talked about probably particularly around mental health, of the power of the royal family to help change attitudes or make something that, you know, at one stage was a bit of a taboo to talk about in the, you know, in the context of mental health in particular, much more normal, much more kind of normalised and part of the conversation. And, you know, like mental health as an issue, like it sounds awful to say it, but it's like it's quite trendy. It's, you know, there's a whole kind of it's so much part of society now that and because it had been suppressed probably for quite so long,
it was suppressed when they were talking, when they started talking about it.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was a lot of naysayers who have said, why on earth are they getting involved in this? This will never take off. And look at it now. I think they've had an astonishing global impact.
And it'd be interesting to know what people from the LGBT plus community think about it. But I don't know whether, for me, there's a bit of a perception that, you know, there is a strong community or various communities within that community who are, you know, the kind of the flag bearers, the rainbow flag bearers for it. And but whether, I don't know, do they feel that they get enough support from the people outside their community at all times? I don't know. Or do we kind of just leave them to get on with it and not worry about it too much until it maybe touches our own lives with people that we know? One other thing that I just want to mention before we finish, or before we hear about what's coming next. Zara and Mike Tindall on Top Gear.
Yes.
This was brilliant. This was, for me, a perfect example of why the Tindalls are the best royals.
By not being quite entirely royal.
Yeah.
So Top Gear, big, you know, big BBC motoring show, obviously in its new phase with its new presenters, and they get people on to try and drive fast, essentially. So this was, I've not been hugely watching the new series. So there were two bits of the challenge that Zara and Mike had to do. First, they had to drive as fast as possible in like a Jaguar of some kind, down a straight track through essentially two gateposts, essentially massive metal pillars. And I think when they had the briefing beforehand, there's like 6 inches either side not to smash a wind mirror. So there was who could go fastest through the gates. So, you know, Zara went first, hammered it. She was a bit frustrated that she was just under 100 miles an hour, and she clipped the wing mirror, but it didn't break. So it was fine. She was valid. So And then
this is on a Jag.
This is in a, yeah. I think it was like an older one. I think it was a brand new one. But then Mike had his go, and yeah, so he did go faster, but he did obliterate one of the gate posts and smash up the wing mirror. And then so they did that segment first, and then they came out for the studio appearance, and they're sitting on the sofa. And, you know, like Zara's got a hand on Mike's leg, and he's got his arm around her back on the sofa, and there's a bit of chat, and, you know, the presenters are taking the mick out of Mike's broken yep. nose and this. And
well, they're taking the mick out of each other quite a lot as well, which is what I was really, yeah, really enjoyed. I think my favourite line from it was when they were doing the rehearsal, when Mike, I think he said to her, "I've seen you drive faster to Waitrose," oh, yeah.
When they had to do their lap to see who could actually do
oh,
a
yeah,
lap
that was
faster.
That was on the rehearsal of the lap, wasn't
they
it?
Were,
yeah.
They were in the car together, and Mike did win that one, but by 1 second. I think they kind of got a sense of that nice competition between them, but the kind of unguarded moments when I think they thought that the TV was, you know, the kind of the recording was being shown rather than them on the sofa. They were, you know, they were very affectionate and looked quite relaxed. And it was,
yeah, they got lots of lovely. Really good feedback on social media with people just saying how kind of down to earth and laid back they were, which is lovely.
Cool. So we should look forward to seeing them very soon. Russell, is there anything particular to look out for in the next week other than how the christening plays out?
Other than the christening plays out, oh yes, next week we've got Harry and William coming together for a charity polo match, which is really, really special. That the late owner of Leicester City Football Club, who sadly died in a helicopter accident, they'll be raising money for his charities and some of their own charities as well. That is next Wednesday.
Camilla's off to Wimbledon.
Camilla is off to Wimbledon as well.
Plenty of time. Sure.
There'll be some coverage of, because this is coming out on Thursday, so today, as in yesterday, if you're following me.
Oh, Russell's William, time travelling again.
William is at the Royal Marsden Hospital meeting some fantastic people there, and there'll be a story about that, I'm sure, on the website. And then on Sunday, the 14th of July, you've got Harry and potentially Meghan, probably Meghan, are going to see the European premiere of The Lion King in Leicester Square in London. So look out for that. And there's going to be some superstar star-studded guests, so watch out for that.
Amazing. Oh, that sounds great. Lots to look forward to, and we'll be back to talk to you about it very soon. But until next time...
Pod save the Queen!